Ja, de wereldreiziger let altijd goed op. Hij neemt bijvoorbeeld nooit iets mee terug naar Nederland wat niet mag. Dankzij de douanereizen-app. Gaat u nu ook naar het buitenland? Download dan voor vertrek de douanereizen-app. Dan kunt u overal checken wat u in uw reisbagage mee terug mag nemen. Belastingdienst douane.
Wil jij Nederlands leren? Beter met de computer overweg? Of wil je leren goed om te gaan met geld? Kom dan naar het Leef- en Leerpunt op Oba Belmerplein. Het Leef- en Leerpunt is dé plek in de bibliotheek waar je terecht kunt met al je vragen over taal, rekenen en omgaan met de computer. Kom langs en ga gelijk aan de slag. Je vindt ons op Belmerplein 393 in Amsterdam Zuidoost. Meedoen is gratis. Oba, leef en leer.
Door de aarde te vergroenen kunnen de Maasai hun land weer gebruiken. Dat zorgt voor voedselzekerheid, een stabieler inkomen en meer emancipatie. Ons grotere doel is het herstellen van het klimaat. Daarom gaan we in Afrika een gebied vergroenen zo groot als Nederland. Het kan. Het werkt. Schep mee. Want hoe groener de aarde, hoe koeler de planeet. Cooling down the planet. Just dig it.
Hey, ik vind het moeilijk om over mijn depressie te praten.
Hey, mijn vrienden wisten niet hoe ze erover konden beginnen.
Hey, ik wil wel helpen. Maar hoe?
Hey, 800.000 Nederlanders lijden aan depressie.
Hey, daarom is het tijd voor Hey. Hey helpt om met elkaar het gesprek aan te gaan.
Kijk maar eens op heyhelpt.nl.
Hey, het is oké. Maak depressie bespreekbaar.
Welkom bij een nieuwe uitzending van editie Pink Terrorist.
Hallo lieve luisterbabes, mijn naam is Isa Awad.
En mijn naam is Cindy Wolf.
Vandaag hebben wij twee hele bijzondere gasten op bezoek. Ze hebben met elkaar gemeen dat ze allebei maker zijn van voorstellingen tijdens het Fringe Festival. Wie deze spannende mensen zijn hoor je zo, maar we gaan eerst naar onze eerste keuze luisteren van een van onze gasten. Namelijk Femme Fatale van Genevieve Wade.
She does to please. En dan nu het nieuws waar wij onze roze lat langs gelegd hebben. Op nummer 5.
Een schokkend nieuws.
Nog steeds problemen rondom LHBT-asielbeleid in Nederland. We hebben het er in het afgelopen jaar al vaker over gehad. Het asielbeleid rondom LHBT'ers in Nederland is nog steeds niet om over naar huis te schrijven. Het IND voert het nieuwe asielbeleid, wat op 4 juli nog is verbeterd, voor LHBT'ers niet uit. Er wordt namelijk nog steeds aannames gedaan op basis van stereotypen, terwijl juist besloten werd om dit aan te passen.
Op nummer 4.
Vrolijk nieuws.
Bijzondere fashion show tijdens New York Fashion Week. Tijdens de New York Fashion Week kwam afgelopen zaterdag een bijzondere show voorbij. Modewarenhuis Marco Marco gaf een fantastische fashion show met uitsluitend transgenders als modellen. Marco Morante, ontwerper, wilde een plek creëren waar mensen hun translichaam konden vieren en trots kunnen zijn. Ik denk dat dit een mooie boodschap is en dat het goed is dat wordt gewerkt aan meer diversiteit in de mode-industrie.
Op nummer 3.
Het treurig nieuws.
Ophef bij X-Factor over vraag Robbie Williams. Bij X-Factor heeft jurylid Robbie Williams enig ophef veroorzaakt omdat hij aan een van de deelnemers vroeg wat de geboortenaam van deze persoon was. De deelnemer, Felix Sheffert, gaf in het programma juist aan als meer te worden willen worden gezien dan alleen transman, waarna Williams deze vraag stelde. Dit leidde tot heel veel ophef. Wat vind jij als luisteraar en als kijker? Doet zoiets er überhaupt toe? En heeft Williams, of misschien iemand anders, eigenlijk wel het recht om dit te vragen?
Op nummer 2.
Hoopvol nieuws.
Student wint Youth Courage Prijs. Stel je voor, je gaat met je moeder naar Kenia op vakantie. Achteraf blijkt dat je moeder helemaal niet met je op vakantie wil, maar dat ze je probeert naar een kant te sturen waar je bekeerd zou moeten worden van je homoseksualiteit. Dit overkwam de student Mada Olat. Dat hij hierachter is gekomen, is hij gevlucht in Kenia, uit Kenia, en hiervoor heeft hij de Youth Courage Prijs ontvangen. De prijs is bedoeld voor inspirerende personen uit de LHBTB+ gemeenschap die tegenslagen hebben ervaren wegens hun identiteit.
En op het nummer 1.
Liefdevol nieuws.
Ja, waar deze week toch wel heel veel aandacht naartoe is gegaan, is de afschaffing van 157 jaar oude wet in India. De afschaffing van deze wet leidt ertoe dat seks tussen mensen van hetzelfde geslacht niet langer strafbaar is. In 2009 is al eerder een deel van de wet geschrapt. Dit werd een jaar later helaas weer teruggedraaid. De huidige zaak werd aangekaart bij het Hoge Rechtshof via een petitie van 5 homo's en lesbiennes. De 5 rechters stemden unaniem voor de afschaffing van de passage. Nou, dan gaan we nu nog heel even het nieuws verwerken, terwijl we luisteren naar een muziekkeuze van één van onze gasten. En dat is een eigen nummer van één van onze gasten. Dus die wil ik graag horen.
Will gather.
Before we start with the interview with our guest, one of them is an English-speaking person, so the questions and answers will be given in English from now on. So, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rickert, and hello, Moreno. Introduce yourself.
Okay, so hello, I'm Rickert. I'm from Amsterdam, and I'm going to talk about my show called Boys Won't Be Boys.
And hello, my name is Moreno Perna. I'm an Italian choreographer based here in Amsterdam, and I'm going to talk about my piece XYX.
And Moreno, how did you come to the Netherlands, and why are you playing especially here and not, for example, in Italy?
I actually came here to study contemporary dance in the Theaterschool. I was in the MTD department. And after that, I worked in Belgium for Jan Fabre. And then I decided to come back here in Amsterdam and do my own performances and create my own work.
Okay, and both of you have a play or a performance in the Fringe Festival. So I first want to ask Moreno, what was the reason to participate in the Fringe Festival?
I think the greatest thing about the Amsterdam Fringe Festival is that it reaches a great amount of people. And for me, this piece is really about talking about a difficult theme like gender to a wide audience and a very diverse type of audience, and hopefully also get in the theater people that usually don't go to the theater or people that usually do not talk about this theme so much, or they're cisgenders and they are heterosexuals and they never touch this theme. So it's really in a way to guide them through this theme of
yes.
gender. Yeah.
And I think it's a similarity with Rickert. So Rickert, what kind of play do you perform? Now, you're not a performer in your play, right?
Yeah, so I I directed this
yes.
play, but it's actually not a play. It's actually a social movement. And we're all like boys, but also women, but mainly boys. We're called Boys Won't Be Boys. So we try to challenge the ideal of the masculinity. We try to break through the norms and try to show that we're actually all very different and that men are really different, all of us. And it's very important to not stay in the rigid, like, square box of masculinity, but you can go out of it and be sweet, kind, tender, and things like this. We are talking about this, but we're also singing about this and dancing about this and moving about this subject. Because I think people talk a lot about gender, but then to make it sensible, to start people to have emotions with the subject is very important, because it's very easy to understand the subject if you feel something instead of if you just think something.
And Rickert, you got a lot of people with you on this play. How did you knew all these people, or how did you meet all them?
Well, a lot of them are my friends. Because I wanted to work with my friends and also want to give them a stage, because there's not so many places to perform if you're not in the rigid gender, if you're not just a man or just a woman. There's not so many theaters that you can go to. But the movement is 550 people now in the Facebook group called Boys Won't Be Boys. But in the performance, there's 25 people. So just the people who wanted to join could join. And I said, I just have to find out when everybody's available, and we're doing it.
Nice.
Okay, and you were talking about women who joined Boys Won't Be Boys as well. That was, I think, one of my biggest questions. What to do with the girls? Because it's called Boys Won't Be Boys, and it's about boys. So is it interesting as well for women to go to the performance or to join Boys
oh
Won't
my
Be
God.
Boys?
Yes, it's very interesting for women, because we're a part of why we're doing it is because of women, because a lot of men are suppressing women, or a lot of men are earning more money than women, and women don't like it, you know, and they're right. So the thing is that if, like, in the last century, women really changed their behavior, changed the possibilities through feminism. a lot of things became possible for women, but men didn't really change that much. You know, men still have the full-time jobs and they still have the leadership and they still have to be tough and strong and things like this. And things are changing, but I want to push it a little bit, you know? I want to show people that it's also very much fun and nice, and it feels good to start changing. And the point I'm also making is that women cannot change any longer if men don't start changing themselves, you know?
And also because men have power in society, so if we don't change.
And what should be changed by men then?
I think, like we were talking about it before, it's really if you first understand as a man that you also have a soft side inside, mm. and you have a feminine part. It's also a lot in my piece XYX. It's really to make the audience understand, especially the men that I was tackled with my PR and my publicity, how we actually have we are very fluid inside, and it's more a feeling of gender. It's not what is said to be masculine or feminine, but there are energies, very shamanistic energies that just dancing us. And if men also understand to kind of relax a little bit and soften up, then the world must be so much better, for sure.
And I do see so many men that are actually already doing this, you know, but they don't talk about it. Mm. So they don't discuss it with each other, or they don't feel free to actually acknowledge that they're experimenting with these things. So now I want to open up the conversation. Mm-mm.
And Moreno, in your play, XYX, how do you want to tackle this issue with men?
Well, actually, at first, through my social medias and even on AT5 on TV, I was kind of using the first character of the piece, which is a very like blonde bombshell, kind of like a perfect blonde, robotic, almost beautiful woman, and kind of seduce them to the theater. And then when I have them in my you know, in my power in the theater, then you see how much this image of a woman that I bring on stage is the image of a sexual doll, like how a lot of men actually see women, or how our society portrays women in a certain way, with certain boobs, with certain wavy curls hair, etc. And then I actually will have a reveal. I don't want to talk too much about it. I want people to come to see the piece. But then a new androgynous creature is born, and is actually that small androgynous creature that we all have inside.
Is this problem of men, do you also encounter that yourself in real society?
Yes. Oh, yes.
In what way?
Well, so I think it's wrong to say men are the problem. I think masculinity or toxic masculinity is the problem, because a lot of men are not part of the problem. They're actually very kind and open and want to change, you know? So men are very welcome, and I love men, you know? And we need also men to be able to love us, or to try to love us and to try to love more. So what was the question?
Oh, no, but when you see it, when or a gay is femme, mm-hmm. They are rejected by the other masculine gays.
Yes.
Are you also like discussing that in your place, or?
In my play, I don't really discuss about that. But of course, the text especially that talks about how the female gender is constructed in our society really tackles misogyny. And I always talk about how misogyny is very much present in the gay community, especially the male gay community. I also talk a lot about these subjects in... I have also a group on Facebook, which is called XYX Forget Your Gender, where I share information and news, but also events, queer events and stuff like that. And I also tackle this problem a lot because I think we don't talk about it enough. But misogyny is everywhere, and it's a big problem also in the gay community.
Well, I have another question. When I hear this, it sounds like it's utopian, Utopia. Mm-hmm. How do you say that? Utopian? Yeah. It's right? Yes, yeah. it exists. I'm so happy. But how do you translate this in real life? Because we're still living in a gendered society. So you have women, men, and that's it. And there are some people who are maybe in between, but there's not there are not real words for that. You can't have it on your passport, whatever. How is it possible to bring the performance to life?
Interesting question, because that's exactly what my show is about. So there's, for example, a friend of mine who is becoming a father, and he tries to find out if a father is something different than a mother, or like what should he do to become a father, and how was his father doing stuff with him, you know,
influencing
like a parent. Yeah, so this is a lot about fatherhood, so it's very, very concrete, I think, what he's doing. And then there's another guy who is asexual, and he discusses this, and he sings a song called Leave Me Alone. Leave Me Alone. So that's very much about dating and about how he is very different than other boys in this dating process, you know. So I think we have a lot of examples in the show of people who are actually talking about their real life and how they're changing it in a practical way. Mm-hmm. But yours is maybe more poetic.
Well, mine is a little bit different because I don't really give an answer. I actually bring the people to ask themselves a lot of questions.
Okay.
And also because, this new creature born is not an answer, is a poetic vision of how our gender fluidity is inside of all of us. But this raises a question in everybody who is watching the piece. But just the last thing, I think, in real life, I always thought that just living your life truthfully and courageously and influences the people around you with positivity is already a big act of activism.
Mm. Talking about activism and translating your place in society, are you yourselves also activists somewhere? LGBT? Well, I think with your place already you're activist, but besides maybe translating your play in society, are you doing something for that?
For me, I think you know, there are many different ways of activism. I've always been an activist, also when I was living in Italy, and I wish to do even more, actually. So maybe I think actually Pink Terrorists is a super cool group, and I'm getting to know you guys even more.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but also just in a way, when you know, as a man, and you put on a wig and heels and you perform, that's already a big act of activism, especially when I do it in straight clubs.
Yeah, I can really relate, because like my life is my activism. So I walk in heels and a dress in the supermarket and in the streets, you know, and that is the place where I have the most impact, even more than in my own show. Mm. So it's my life, you know, and that's why my play is not really a play, because I'm not pretending something to be something. I'm just being it. And maybe for you it's the same. It's just a part of you that comes out and gets into shape, you know?
Yeah.
And I think the word activism, in a way, it feels interesting, because I'm only an activist because the other people are not, you know, or because they don't agree. But then I think the other people are actually like more like non-activists, you know, then I'm really an activist, because I'm just doing my thing. I'm living my life. And because other people don't agree with it, I become an activist. But it's actually the other people doing the work, you know, they are doing stuff that makes me an activist. I'm just living my life and getting people to come together and have fun, have a good time and be interested.
Yeah, and just to finish, I think also both of our pieces just are good in representing something that is not the norm in a way. And for me also, it's very important to fight misogyny. And actually, I also think in our community that trans people still need a lot of representation and activism from our side, and I hope that in a way through my piece I can do that as well.
Thank you, Moreno. We're now gonna digest the conversation with our third musical choice from Björk, All is Full of Love. We are back! Now we're going to listen to two poems or parts of the acts from the Amsterdam Fringe Festival from our guest. Rickert, you have the waiver.
Vraag je iemand hoe herken je een homo? Dan hebben ze hun woordje klaar. Aan dit en aan dat. Hij loopt zus of zo. Hij huilt, hij lacht en meer van dat soort dingen. Zijn vrouwelijkheid verraadt hem dan, zeggen ze. Vraag je aan een hetero man, hoe zorg je dat niemand zal denken dat jij op mannen valt? Dan zegt hij, en dat weten ze vaak heel goed, dan doe ik dit niet en dat niet en ook vooral niet zo. Niet te veel emotie tonen, niet met mijn heupen bewegen, niet dansen op een feestje of in ieder geval niet te lang. Geen gekleurde kleren dragen, niet te lief en niet te zacht. Maar vooral wel interesse tonen in vrouwen. Om niet gay te lijken, overdrijft hij dus een soort mannelijkheidsideaal. Inclusief het seksualiseren van vrouwen of het objectiveren van vrouwen. Homofobie en seksisme gaan hand in hand. Mannelijkheid komt altijd met een prijs.
En Rickard, to our English listeners, what was it about?
In short.
Okay, so if you ask someone what a gay man looks like or how he behaves, people tend to know the answer, you know? And then straight men tend to know how to act not to be gay, you know? And what they do is they sexualize women. They say things like, heb je nog een chick gescoord? Like, did you fix
a girl?
Yeah, things like this, you know, not to seem straight, you know, or not to seem gay. So the sexualization of women or objectification of women goes together with homophobia. It's like very much combined.
And is it part of your performance or was it just a poem from yourself?
This is part of the show. Yeah, I'm doing this in the show as well.
And what do you want to, what's your goal with it? What's your goal with saying it?
Wow, so many things. But especially it shows how this masculine ideal or masculinity is a performance. And it has a lot to do with fear and a lot about with homophobia or fear of being feminine or things like this. And then you don't have to do it. So this is not so funny, I think, but I try to be funny later on in the show to loosen up a little bit and to show that it's actually very easy not to fit into the ideal and to just open up, you know. I don't try to make it too hard, you know, because it's actually, for a lot of people, it's actually not hard. You can just do it. You can move your hips. You can wear these clothes. You can do it. Do it.
Just do it. Moreno, you have also something for us, a poem or a part of the act?
Yes, actually, I would like to read you more about my performance, and I will do it in a very soft voice.
Ooh.
Where XX and XY, the two chromosomes which distinguish a man from a woman, become fluid, is where my show XYX comes into being. My one-person play leads us from the cliché image of a woman as a sensual body to an androgynous creature. My belief is that gender cannot be deconstructed, only transcended. And in that zone, a fluid sensation is created that goes beyond the division between what is male and what is female in our culture. Rather than a message to the spectator, it is a gentle appeal to everything that is both male and female in the spectator.
Thank you so much for letting us know what your part is about. And I wanted to ask you a question about it, because you were talking about men and women and about androgyn. How do you say the name?
Androgyny.
Thank you. And you're playing this here, and you are from Italy, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between, for example, the Netherlands and Italy in how people see men and women?
Mm-hmm.
Does it depend on the country?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, all of my work in general is very much of anthropological study. So I really see also gender as a cultural product. Because,
right,
of course, if we talk about another culture, the idea of gender is completely different. In our cultures, they even have three official genders, or five or more, or whatever. So I'm talking about Western culture. But the interesting thing is that when I created the piece and I showed it, I actually found out how actually my own heritage was more present. And I even had reactions from women especially, but Dutch spectators saying that they don't feel that problem anymore, or they don't see themselves in the female character on stage, which I responded saying, very good for you, I'm very happy, but there are people that are still struggling with this idea of constructed femininity or constructed gender still in here in the Netherlands. And if you are feeling that liberated, it's great for you. But it's still something, I still believe that this piece has something to talk about. And this is why also I'm not the only one making a piece like about the theme. But I feel that it is a lot about patriarchy and how patriarchy can be strong. And definitely there is a difference. In Italy is much stronger. In other places, also in South Europe, is much stronger than here in a way.
And how can you declare that? Why is there a difference then? Why is it better or less worse in the Netherlands? There, you're right. There's still people who think that way, who think, who don't feel liberated in that. But how does it come that there is some
such a difference?
Yeah,
I think it's because in the Netherlands, also through theater, already in the 90s, there was a lot of talk about gender through theater. And something that in Italy is only starting now. And even on a public level, it is only starting now. Like, I remind you that in Italy, it is allowed to marry as a gay couple only for 2 years now. And in the Netherlands, it's like more than 10 now, or this year is 10. So that's already a difference. And also, you know, Berlusconi television and how the whole idea of a woman as an object is presented in medias in Italy is very, very strong. It's also here in a way, but here it is different, and it is more of an open discussion, I think.
Okay.
I try to imagine how they see that, like a marriage of 2 years and then you need to split up again. Or how does that work?
No.
Like, I meant...
Two years ago, they started with the gay marriage.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah. We legalized the gay marriage only in 2015.
Oh, 2 years
and it's
ago.
Still not called a marriage. It's called a union.
Okay.
It's still something else.
Is that maybe a reason that you came to Holland also?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the year I came
you
here...
You want to marry someone?
well, but when I came here in 2010, it was the period where Berlusconi was elected for the second time. I voted communist. It was the last time I could do it. Now it doesn't exist anymore, the party in Italy. And I really felt like, okay, this is just a lost case. I'm going away. Plus, as a dancer, there is no work in Italy. There is no financial sustained support. So I just was like, okay, both my personal life and my work life cannot exist in Italy. So do it.
Do it. Oh my God. That's so funny.
Hetzelfde willen. Hetzelfde willen. Hetzelfde willen, hetzelfde willen. Zijn we dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Zijn we dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Hetzelfde willen, behouden wat er is. Hetzelfde willen, durven we het aan? Hetzelfde willen, hiermee verder gaan. Zijn dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Hey, zijn we dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Hetzelfde willen. hetzelfde willen. Hetzelfde willen. Zijn we dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Hey, zijn we dan in staat, zonder veel te zeggen, van elkaar te weten waar het ons om gaat? Hetzelfde willen, draait het even om elkaar. Hetzelfde willen, staan we ook nog op onszelf. Hetzelfde willen, kijken wij elkaar lang aan. Dit is het. Wacht even hoor. Dit is het. Ben ik nou gek? Of is dit?
Rickard, prachtig nummer. Kan je ons ook vertellen waar het over gaat?
Nee, in eerste instantie gaat dat lied over hetzelfde willen. Dus als je een relatie, wat voor relatie dan ook, or what kind of relationship you will have with anyone.
Thank you.
Sorry. It's about having a relationship and then some people think you have to want the same things to be able to have a relationship. You know? But then I think maybe in the process of finding out if you want the same things, love can already be there. That's what the song is actually about. But then I also, in my show, I say, like after this song, I say, and if we want the same thing, like if we're fighting for equality like between men and women or gay and straight or black and white, rich and poor, I'm wondering, like, equal to what? Should women be equal to men, or should men be equal to women? You know, equality is a funny word because it's more about equity or gelijkwaardigheid.
Yes.
Know? We can all be different but still have the same value or still be worth the same thing, you know?
And I was wondering, what was the, like, really heavy breathing doing in the middle of the song? Why?
Okay.
What happened there?
Well, it's because I wanted on my CD, because these are songs for my EP, I wanted to have a male orgasm with a sound, you know, because men don't make sound or noise when they come.
Moreno Why not? Knows
you did the noise. Like, what do men do?
You don't know if Moreno does that.
No, but that's what they do. Like, it's true.
They don't release. Yeah, and then women go like, all the time faking it, you know. And then men go like, But
because
why?
They think it's a female thing to just
yeah, come on, breathe, give some noise to it, you know, make the sound, you know, show your feelings, express yourself. I mean, yeah, we need to have a more loud orgasms.
I agree.
That will be the future, or huge orgasms and loud voices
with a lot of noise.
Yeah. This is very interesting because if you want to have a hard penis, you have to attract these muscles in your abdominal muscles. You have to really attract them, because if you don't, it's just like not really hard, you know? And then this hard penis is like the male ideal of having sex, but it actually, it makes you feel less. So if you relax a little bit more, and then it's not as harsh, so it doesn't look as like horny, but then you can feel so much more, you know? And I think it's very important. And also the picture of my show is like an aubergine eggplant, cut up, so the male ideal of the big penis, you know, I want to get rid of this strong, tough, like a penis is like presented as a strong, tough piece of your body, but it's actually not. It's a very vulnerable, small thing, you know.
And you Morena, guys, Moreno, what do you think about penises?
Well, I mean, personally love them. But I agree, it's like, even in Amsterdam, I mean,
there are so many phallic symbols around, you know, or like in military, the more half triangles you have, the more power you have. And that's actually also a phallic symbol. You know, like the phallus is the power since the Roman Empire time on in our culture. So, yeah, that's it. I also love vaginas, and I have like 3 pictures of vaginas in my apartment. Like, they should also have more like visibility and power.
Okay, for our listeners, he's having a vagina
necklace.
Yeah, which is by Denise Rosenbaum, and she's great. She is really a cool designer.
Go to her website and purchase it.
Yes.
And you also have a really cool thing on with gender, and then...
Yeah, that's actually from last year's piece of Karen Rosenberg at Fringe, and she had a collaboration with a designer and a design label that is called Nobody. And they all have a lot of sweaters and shorts, everything with the word gender that is cancelled.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think I want that one.
Yeah.
But, Isa.
Yeah, I have maybe a more going in-depth question. The listeners are maybe wondering what was the key event in your life while you made the decision to not consider yourself only boy anymore?
For the both of you, the question.
Okay. Well, for me, it's, you know, it's actually a lot through theater, like experimenting with different characters. And there was a time I was working with a girl from SNDO, and the whole research was actually about going crazy with different characters. And just all of a sudden, this lesbian woman character came out from me. And I realized I have a lesbian living inside, which is a woman, but also not a cisgender woman, or not a heterosexual woman, sorry. But I also, and I found out how, you know, through theater, you can actually... it's a therapeutic kind of psychotic work. And as Pirandello, who is a great Italian writer, says, we are one, no one, and 1,000 at the same time. And that's a lot in my work. So for me, it's all about that I have different personalities inside, different genders. And it was really a lot through theater and makeup and playing with characters and costumes, yeah.
And for you, Rickert?
Well, I think it's a very ongoing process. So I think the question is a little bit hard because it happens every day when I get dressed or walk in the streets or sing with some sort of voice, you know. So it's very much an ongoing exploration.
Yeah. And I have one more question actually to you both, or maybe especially to Rickert, because you said that your performance is also... or. In society, you're an activist also for your play, maybe, to go in a dress to a supermarket. How do you do that? Isn't that difficult?
Because you can... Okay, so safety first. If I don't feel safe or don't feel strong or when it's raining and I'm sad, I'm not doing it. And that's a very big privilege because a lot of trans people are not able to say no. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just doing it all the time because this is who they are. And then I have this privilege that I can choose sometimes because I want to be safe and I want to like beschermen my sensitivity also. But when I'm feeling well and I want to wear a dress, I just go in the streets and the reactions are mainly so positive. Mm-hmm. So there's people waving, winking, people making a talk, you know, and people are very happy. Some people suddenly they can breathe again, you know. They're like, oh my God, this is still possible. I'm so happy to see this, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm just taking the space, you know, but the space is there. There's a lot of space, you know, and you can just walk into the space and be happy.
Yeah. And if you are actually confident enough, then you're actually quite already protected, because if someone, like the bully, kind of smelled the fear, that's really like that. So I also did the same, and I also noticed actually if you are confident and you feel good in yourself wearing a dress, more or less everybody's going to be fine. And yeah, hopefully you don't get, you have to pay attention where you are, not to, you know, be safe. But more or less around Amsterdam, it's still possible, hopefully.
Yeah, so try it out with your friends. Just try it out on a safe day, you know, and see what happens, because it really changed my perspective, because a lot of the people responding in a positive way, I wouldn't have expected that they would, you know. So it's also like reality is a lot different from the things you see in the news or you read in the papers or on the internet, you know. That's a very small part of the reality in the streets. So go in the streets and find out what happens there, you know.
Okay, I think we're going to think about that and we're going to listen to the next musical choice. It's called Human Drama.
Continue with this number later on, but first we want to give the voice to our guests for their promotion of their two plays.
Okay, so we are really playing at 13, 14, 15 and 16th of September, so this weekend in the Compagnie Theater. And it's called Boys Won't Be Boys, and the tickets are via amsterdamfringefestival.nl. And on Sunday, it's nice to know, like, the show on Sunday is at 7 o'clock, but at 8 o'clock, Araya Lester, he's the winner of the Opera Dagen Rotterdam Award, is performing a concert which you can dance to, and that's for free. So next, after the show on Sunday at 8 o'clock, Araya Lester is performing a free concert.
Woo!
I love Lester. We were in school together, by the way. I love
her. Really? Anyway,
yeah, not in the same class, but my piece. You can also buy the tickets for XYX on Fringe Festival website, and it's only 2 dates left. So it's Saturday at 9 and Sunday at 7:30 in the Brakegrond, Nes 45, and Sunday right after we have after party with Saba Culture. So you're all invited to come Saturday at 9 and Sunday at 7:30 for XYX.
Okay, I have a small announcement as well for our student association, ASVG. Yeah. There are open drinks again. So next week and this week, actually tonight at 9 and next week, we have drinks at the Amstel 54. So if you are a student and you're interested in an LGBT association, please come by and have a drink with us.
And also discovering LGBT Amsterdam.
Yes.
It's a good student nation.
I think everybody did their promotion.
I think I have something very nice also to say.
Okay, okay.
The word is to rickets. We don't have a website. We have a phone number. You can call it. And then you can pick one of the performers and you will hear part of the show already. And there's also one option is to do a self-love workshop that lasts for 2 minutes. So you can call this number and it's just for a regular cost. And then you can... So if you can't come to the show, you can still... see it, and the number is 06-4228-0481. 06-4228-0481.
I did it. It's super fun.
Cool. And for me, sorry, you can also find about myself on morenoperna.com.
Great promotion, guys.
That sounds really good. I think we have to finish the program right now.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Thank you, Rickert Moreno.
For coming.
And our technician, Jan Willem. And that was it, babes.
Yeah.
Let's listen to some music and then we're done.
Yes, we're done. Thank you.
Ciao.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao. Ciao.
Thank you.
Zo, lieve luisteraars, dit was hem weer. Wilt u reageren of informatie over onze uitzending? Neemt u dan contact op via onze Facebookpagina Pink Terrorist. Bedankt voor het luisteren en tot de volgende keer.